So the general topic for today is freedom and mindfulness of emotions. And emotions are a hugely important part of human life. And they're actually a very important part of Buddhist practice and the path to liberation and freedom. They're also an important part of the life of freedom. That with the degree to which we start experiencing an inner freedom from Buddhist practice to spiritual freedom, that that's not an emotional neutral state, but one that can give birth to some really wonderful states of that we could call emotional. The exactly what an emotion is, I think no one knows except for you, each of you individually. That if you use the word in some kind of to refer to something, then that's what it refers, that's for you have a meaning for it. But there's many meanings for emotion. Many people have tried to kind of narrow it down or establish what it is. It's a little bit hard to really get it exact or universal or something. But some people, when they think about the word emotion, they think about big emotions, like anger or happiness, or that's kind of standing out, something that's a little bit more activated or really clear. But there's a lot of things that could fit into the category of emotions, which are pretty calm, pretty quiet. So calm, for example, a sense of relief. As curiosity, surprise, interest, awe, boredom. All those I'd like to include in the category of emotions. And sometimes even like the feeling of being settled or the feeling of being feeling expansive that can happen in meditation sometimes. These are all part of a subjective world of inner experiences that have what they have in common is that they are subjective. They are something that are it's very personal that's experienced. Certainly they can be shared with other people and other people can be influenced by how we feel, but also we can experience them by ourselves in meditation or when we're alone and no one needs to know about it. Some emotions are specific to an event, in the moment, and some emotions are more like moods, and they kind of persist over an extended period of time. So a mood is a form of an of extended, enduring kind of emotional state. But one of the things that I think is important for people who do mindfulness to appreciate is that emotions, whatever they are composites. They're not singular things, like just anger is just anger and that's it. So emotions are composites. And if we understand the ecology of it, of the different component parts, it's a lot easier to have a wiser relationship to our emotional life. And not just wise, but a relationship that allows the best qualities and the best processes, emotional processes, to unfold no matter what the emotion is. One of the ways that I understand emotions is that it's every emotion is important. Every emotion is information. Every emotion has a message in it. And sometimes what the message is, boy, am I attached to something. And so the attachment that we have gives birth to frustration, gives birth to anxiety, gives birth to all kinds of things that fit in this category of emotion. But rather than dismissing an emotion because it was born from some kind of attachment, we can appreciate it that, oh, this is pointing us back to something that the practice should be addressing. We want to look and be honest about how we cling or how we resist. How we reject and how we grasp on things. And some emotions are secondary emotions that they are maybe a response or a reaction to some deeper emotion that really needs our attention quite a bit. So, for example, like this thing about anger, I think often think of anger as more secondary, and that what's sometimes more primary that's underneath the anger is a feeling of hurt, a feeling of threat, a feeling of sadness that people might have. And some people, their response to sadness, response to hurt, response to threat is to get angry. And but rather than dealing with the anger, it's much more valuable to deal with the deeper emotion that's going on. So in this way, emotions are a message. They're something to listen to and pay attention to. And because of this, I've seen over and over again how useful it is to learn how to develop a mindful presence, attention to emotions, that I now have the view that emotion should be respected. Every emotion should be respected. Respect does not mean that we give in to them. Respect does not mean we indulge in them, that we participate in their construction and their continuation. But respect means that we really bring a careful attention to emotions, and we learn how that attention can be brought to it. And the benefits of doing so is to build the ability to experience any emotion with a degree of freedom. The freedom of not immediately going into stories, predictions of what it means to have these emotions, not being pushed around by them, or not having our view of ourselves and the world around us unduly influenced by the emotions we have. And to be able to kind of have respect for the emotions is to be present for it as it is without being caught in it. And that's a phenomenal piece of freedom to discover that. And that freedom begins by having some respect. Okay, here it is. This is maybe a difficult emotion, or maybe not difficult emotion, but you know, let's respect it by giving it some attention. And what kind of attention do we give? We try to give a non-reactive attention, or an attention that gives permission for the emotion to be there in such a way that we're not overwhelmed by it, not pushed around by it, not crushed by it. And that skill to do that is a phenomenal skill. So that's kind of a general introduction for the day. And in the course of the day, I'm hoping to describe to you some of the component parts of emotions. I have a list of 10 different aspects of what an emotion is. And I don't know if I'll get through all 10, but I would like to give you the idea of how to be able to see the ecological component parts of what makes up our emotions when we have them. And in seeing those parts, find a much wiser relationship to them. But to begin with the meditation session, one of the really useful skills to have with any emotion that we want to be present for in a mindful way is to get ourselves grounded or stabilized, to find some ability to be stable, rooted in ourselves. So in that rooted, stable stance or way of being, that we then can gaze upon or be present for our emotions without getting activated, reactivated, without being feel like overwhelmed by it or whatever it might be. And so this capacity to in some maybe modest way, relax, settle down, become stable as a first step to a wise and maybe liberated relationship to emotions, I think is invaluable. It's not meant to be a dismissal of any emotion. It's not meant to erase any emotion, but it is meant to help us to see more clearly without the seeing caught up in our preferences, our biases, our fears, our judgments, our evaluations of it all, our conceits or identifications with it all. And so this kind of settling, so we can have a simpler, the relationship we bring to the emotion is simpler, and maybe it's, we can say, even cleaner. So within, in that way, we're able to respect the emotion in a better way, fuller way. So then to start with a meditation session, that to kind of maybe with the purpose of this stabilization, rootedness, to assume a meditation posture that allows you to become settled and rooted. And that could be in a seated position that often has the benefit of having a certain kind of intentionality in it that supports kind of gathering together here in a stable way. It could be laying down. If that's what you need to do, that's fine. It could be standing. And some people find they get most rooted and most stable and fully present by standing meditation. And later I'll talk about walking meditation. And to adjust your body so it feels aligned. For people sitting, it might mean adjusting ways that you might be leaning forward or backwards. Is the weight of your torso, does it come down kind of right on your sitting bones? Is it the sitting bones carries all the weight that's above it, straight up above? No leaning in front of or behind the sitting bones. Maybe not having more weight on one side sitting bones than the other. Might be a way that you can lift your shoulders a little bit and then roll them backwards a little bit. And as you roll them back and bring the shoulder blades a little bit closer together, to have your chest come out a little bit. Just very simple, very little, just so there's a more feeling of openness and presence there in the upper torso. Gently close your eyes. Or keep them half open if that's more comfortable. Gently taking a few long, slow, deep breaths. It's a time-honored technique to become more balanced and settled with emotional upheavals. It's to take some deep breaths with maybe extended exhale. In some situations, it's even nice to help with this stabilization, to say quietly or audibly, ah, as you exhale. Letting your breathing return to normal. To scan through your body, maybe from the top of the head downward, and there's some of the major places where you might have holding or tension in your body. and to relax. You relax around the eyes. Muscles of the face. Quite a few emotions we have are expressed in subtle and big ways by the muscles of the face. Sometimes those muscles have been busy, working hard. To allow the muscles of the face to relax, as if the muscles can fall away from the skull, be held by the skin. Times emotions, some emotions and feelings cause the shoulders to lift up. There can be an upward movement of activation in your body. So to relax the shoulders as you exhale. Allow some of this upward activation to relax and settle. Might not be an appreciable muscular relaxation in the shoulders, but you might feel a softening. Quieting of the energies and agitation might be in the upper torso. As you exhale, maybe there can be a softening of the belly. You can even feel the movements of your diaphragm. Most commonly, as we breathe in, the diaphragm gets pushed down, gets pulled down. And if the belly is relaxed, the belly becomes wide, balloons out. No, but I had that reversed. But as we exhale, as we inhale, the diaphragm goes down and the belly balloons. As the diaphragm lifts, there's the exhale. And then if you're sitting in a chair or a cushion, to feel the weight of your body touching your cushion, the chair, feet against the floor. Seeing if this contact What's holding you up from the pull of gravity can support you becoming stable. Feeling of being rooted here in your place. And within your body, as part of your bodily experience, center yourself on how your body experiences breathing. Centering yourself maybe in the torso, movements of the belly, the diaphragm, the chest, as you exhale, to relax in the body, feeling the rhythm of breathing in, breathing out. As if the rhythm of breathing is a massage for all the different ways that you feel sitting here. Like gentle waves moving through perhaps you could also, as you breathe, as you exhale, relax the thinking mind be feeling the, if there's any physical sensations of pressure, agitation, tightness associated with thinking. And as you exhale, softening, a gentling of that thinking mind. Tend to be caught up in thoughts or caught up in how you're feeling. See if the rhythm of breathing can somehow be a massage, somehow be like waves washing through. So you're breathing with or breathing through the thinking mind. Breathing with or breathing through whatever you're feeling. Relaxing as you exhale. As we begin coming to the end of this sitting, feeling if you're more stable or steady or calm than you were at the beginning. And if you are, how is this way of being a useful platform or vehicle for tending to the emotional life? How are you able to see, feel, be present? It's this way that is useful. I'd like to propose that one way to begin respecting our emotions is to have the ability to kind of pause long enough to become stable or rooted and present so we can meet the emotions in a more balanced way, less reactive way. And that it's not meant to be a damping down of the emotion necessarily, but it is meant to kind of give us the space in the heart, the mind, to be present non-reactively. Oh, this is what's happening. Oh, this is how I'm feeling. And so to be rooted, to be balanced, to be centered, to be have some stability, to have some fluidity, where we're not quite caught. And one of the places that I found invaluable for doing this, especially if the emotions are strong, is in walking. And if I have strong emotions that are difficult to be with, I have a common practice to go for a walk, and there's something about the walking that keeps me fluid. It's a walking that keeps me present, more easily than if I'm just sitting in a couch, kind of slumped over, and because then I get caught up in my thoughts and my concerns, and there's a way in which thinking about it a lot kind of fuels the emotions, kind of repeats them and builds on them. But there's something about the physicality of walking and the physical rhythm of walking that supports me to be here and now in the present and keeps me moving in such a way that in the movement allows the emotions to move through me as well without being latched onto, without being reactive to them. And I'm very fond that the Latin prefix for emotion is e, means out in Latin. And so it's things move that are moving out, something which has been aroused and is moving through us. We're moved in some way. Emotions are when we're moved, and they're dynamic. And to be respectful of emotion is to make room for the dynamic aspect of them, to be set free, to be allowed to be moved and change without being bottled up or resisted, and also very importantly, not being fueled, not indulging in them or participating in them or identifying strongly with them. And sometimes walking is a way that supports this kind of non-identification, non-bottled upness. So I'd like to propose that we take 25 minutes for walking meditation, so that we'll start in here, start again on quarter after the hour, so at 10:15 in California. And that if you have a location, a place in your room, in your hallway, outdoors, that you just kind of walk back and forth at a nice pace for yourself. This is not necessarily slow walking meditation, but find a pace that's right for you, that feels like a pace that will allow you to kind of be in the moving aspect, dynamic aspect of emotions. It allows you to be present for it, where the movements and the sensations of the body, the somatic feelings of the body moving, keep you present for the emotion without being tripped up by them or judging them or reacting to them. Like you're making space for them in the movement, helping them kind of just be there and be seen and known. And so experiment with that and see what speed that allows for that. Sometimes in difficult emotions, fast walking is the best pace to feel grounded and present, to feel like you feel the feet touching the ground with every step, or the body really kind of swinging and moving, and it helps you kind of be with this when it's really strong and we're easily pulled into their orbit. And sometimes it's a calm walk, walking back and forth, and that's what helps us to be with it without being caught up in the thoughts about it and stories about it. So this is a little bit different, or quite different instructions than usual walking meditation instructions. If what I've just offered is not suitable for you, you're welcome to use some more traditional instructions for walking meditation. Or if it's just best for you, just go for a walk around the block or something, whatever is nice for you. I'd recommend you keep the time in silence if you can, where you live. You're not talking to anyone, and just kind of be in a quiet way, in a contemplative way, for this next 25 minutes. And we'll start here at quarter after the hour. Thank you.